When it's raining hard outside, can your roof still keep out the leaks inside? If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation at 1-877-938-1414. You can save $500 if you call right now. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance, and you'll save $500 if you call now. So, for roofing done right, call Sears for a free in-home consultation at 1-877-938-1414. Hurry, offer ends soon. Not available in all states. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now and save $500. Call 1-877-938-1414. That's 1-877-938-1414. Sears.
Blog Talk Radio.
Warning. Please be prepared to leave your comfort zone immediately. The construct and belief system that surrounds you will be deconstructed. We will take you beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality. Ever beyond.
Yeah, ever beyond. Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond the Comfort Zone tonight. I tell you, my browser has just crashed. I have no... Ah, there's my switchboard back, right? Okay, so I can see if anybody's called in. And fortunately, nobody's called in so far, but do call in if you would like to talk about things. I have a small agenda tonight. One of them is that... I'm going to be talking about ascension and relationships and what the heck they have to do with each other. Well, let's start with the process. And the process, as some of the recent listeners have heard, has to do with the movement of energy in the chakras and the connection between various chakras and various other chakras, which produce energetic effects in the body. Now, I'll explain what the heck I just said. If you consider, I mean, okay, I'm going to be preaching to the choir a little bit here. I'm going to assume that we have chakras and that everybody in this room accepts that we have chakras, accepts that we have different forms of energy, if you like, different colors, different flavors, different tastes, different smells of the energy that move through the different chakras. Those energies are what we call the rays. And there are seven of them, and they correspond precisely with the seven chakras. And they determine our, literally, they're the hologram upon which we're based. It's a seven-base system. It's a computer program, but it's not a binary computer. It's got maybe a six state or something like that. That would be 0 to 6. And that would explain why there's lots of hexagonal things in the universe, you know, like snowflakes and beehives and all of those other things, and like the thing on Saturn and, yeah, all this other business, this sort of 6 plus 1 state. So within those, hang on, let me just see if I can get back to the show and chat page and see if there's anybody in the chat room there. Nobody there. Oh, is there somebody there in the Ever Beyond chat room? No, it's just me. Oh, there's Tobias. Good evening, Tobias. And somewhere there's other people. Let's have a look. It's lovely to see you all. And I hope this is going to be of assistance. So, going back to the chakras and the process of ascension. Now, here we go. The process of ascension involves the opening and cleansing and clearing of certain chakras in a certain order. Now, there are many New Age teachings out there that are very kind of what we describe as linear, which is, well, you know, everything grows from the ground upwards. So if you start with the root chakra, that's where you clear first, and then the sacral center and your solar plexus, and et cetera, all the way up until you get to the top. That's one way of looking at it, but there's not necessarily the the actual process that happens. And according to the teachings, of which the seven rays are part of it, part of the, I just need to log in and get back to my chat page. Getting back to the chat page, right? Okay, so where we have the relationships. Ah, there's everybody. Right, hello. There's Teresa and Maria, MG, and several guests. Hello, everybody. Hello. Right, okay, so I'm not going to type that much, but carry on. So, where were we? We were talking about the rays and the chakras, and the process of what people call commonly ascension, what has been called traditionally initiation, which is what's going to be happening to a vast number of people. In the old days, back in the days when they had mystery schools in Egyptian pyramids and Indian temples and Peruvian temples and all those things, the path of initiation was pretty tough, to say the least. It was the best of the best who got there. But what's going to happen because of the energy of the galaxy is kind of winding up a notch, we're going to have to all ascend, and we're all going to have to go through the initiations. And essentially, it's kind of whether we like it or not, it's going to be happening. Now, obviously, there are people with bodies that will not be able to take the stress involved. And a lot of the stress, what's happened to my sound? It's probably my headphones. Right, okay. It's not such a terrible thing. But basically, you have to face your fears. And so, really, it's as terrible as you make it. If you deal with a lot of your fears by the time you deal with it, then you're going to be a lot more ready for the final process than somebody, for instance, who hasn't looked at themselves, dealt with themselves, as you know, watched TV, eaten sodas, used fluoride water and toothpaste, and all of those things. They're going to be very, very rattled and frightened by the whole process. However, I imagine that people who listen to this kind of thing would be much more interested in passing through with less resistance. Let's put it that way. So, how do we move forward? How do we ascend? How do we allow this process to happen? Well, one of the main things is the process of letting go. I mean, it's like almost like a cliche now. Oh, just let go of it all. It's the Buddhists say it would be a divine detachment, and other people would say, don't be bothered by it. Don't be bothered by stuff. I mean, really. To sum it up completely in two words, is stay cool. That means, you know, don't freak out, essentially. Because the more you freak out, the more, for instance, if there was a shark in the water, you don't want to freak out, do you? You know what that would do. Well, there are parasitic entities and things that want to steal your energy, and they're very happy for a bit of chaos. And they welcome people freaking out. They love it. And so if somebody around you freaks out and all sorts of hell breaks loose, they enjoy that. So basically, the whole thing about moving into a better relationship is not to freak out about anything, really, because I believe as we move through this year and as these 20 days evolutionary steps, which we seem to be involved in. If anybody doesn't understand what I mean, they haven't seen the necessary Ian X Lungold video, which is available on YouTube, the best hour and a half you're likely to spend this side of reading a holy book. If you're still in doubt, do a bit more study on the cometary situation that's about to build up on the planet. So what we need to find is ways of releasing and letting go of what is essentially otherwise known as karma, because basically the court in the matrix. The reason that we're stuck in the matrix is because of the karma that we've built up, and a lot of ways of releasing that karma is actually to give up on what you were hoping for. It's a bit like you know, you lend somebody some money and you expect it back, and they run away. You know, you never see them again. There's a certain amount of money that often passes hands in these kind of transactions, because I've had that experience several times in my life where you know, I've lent somebody some money and I never see them again. And the funny thing is that it's always it's like there's a little wink there from the universe, because sometimes it's like £5, sometimes it's £40, sometimes it's £500. Some people have £10,000, but I believe it's like when it's got one of these kind of nice round numbers, it's like it's a wink from the universe to say, that's another bit of karma paid off. So, for instance, if somebody right now owes you money, let go of it. Forget it. Allow them to go their way and let go of whatever. I mean, it might be several years ago. But whatever it is, if you feel that somebody owes you something, then you're going to be tied down by karma. I can't emphasize that enough. So the other way of reducing your karma is to pay it out somehow. There is a branch of yoga called karma yoga, which basically means doing things for people knowingly and willingly to, you know, consciously pay off karma. It's a bit like what they call it when... community service, that's right. Community service, you know, when kids have been bad and they don't want to send them to prison or a borstal school, they say, yeah, do some community service. So, yes, community service is probably one of the most efficient ways of paying off karma, because you go cleaning people's houses and you A, earn money, so that's good for you. You B, pay off some ancient karma. And you don't know how you know these people, but this exchange that goes on is to do with karma. You know, sometimes you have to work for somebody that you may have mistreated in a past life. And you get that kind of situation coming. And so you really don't know somebody's karma. You don't know why you do things. Often you find out later that these circumstances happen. You know, you may go to a hypnotist, have a regression, and then suddenly you see that person that you did the work for, and you see how badly you treated them, and you realize that the job that you did for them was really quite a small thing for the amount of abuse that you gave them in that past life. So, and do excuse my housemates clattering the washing up plates downstairs. We have ways of paying out karma. Karma gets stored in our bodies, in our chakras. And so you may imagine that there are seven different kinds of karma. And one of the main problems that we've had is within relationships, and how abusive our relationships have been since time immemorial. Men have bullied women, people have been terrorized, coerced into relationships, people have been blackmailed into relationships, shotgun marriages, all of these things, they are the wrong approach, really, in terms of spiritual energy and ascension. They're the wrong approach to what we want to achieve, which is essentially in these words, right relationship. Now, what does right relationship mean? It's everything that isn't wrong. Essentially, everything that everybody wants about a relationship but never quite manages to achieve, because we have all these emotions that get in the way. So, again, as I was saying, you know, be cool, one of the things is that people in a relationship with someone often feel very kind of very comfortable in just saying what they think because they think that that's okay. And often that can be incredibly harmful or angry or destructive words that aren't warranted or merited for the person who's receiving them. That's an example of wrong relationship. It happens both ways, men and women, women and men. And those things, they don't serve anybody. So it does take a certain amount of nobility and dignity, really, in a relationship to not abuse the other person, particularly if they put themselves into a subservient place, because that makes it really easy to abuse somebody else. In fact, they're almost abusing you so that you abuse them. It's very difficult from a 3D perspective, from an emotional human perspective, to understand that it is possible to relate to people not in that way, not in this incredibly almost medieval way, but in a way that respects and brings the best out of the people that you're with. We often have people who are speaking on these radio programs and people doing readings and giving the best, finding the best things about people, finding their best attributes. And often the negative sides are downplayed because, you know, nobody wants to encourage somebody's negativity. On the other hand, nobody wants to have it truthfully stated exactly what one's faults are. It's possible, but it doesn't help. It doesn't serve anyone, especially if you want to encourage people, to give people courage in their heart, which is where we're all going, which is where we want to go, which is where everybody wants to end up, in the heart, in a place of compassion. So this is the first place to start, in fact, because here's what happens. You know, you start talking with people and then you start feeling comfortable with them and then you start telling them what to do. And that's the first abuse, really, to actually tell somebody what to do because it's none of your business. In fact, what somebody else thinks of you is also none of your business. I know that's hard for a lot of people to take, but it really isn't. So it doesn't serve anybody to know what anybody else thinks of them. You know, it may be handy to find out, but there you go. So when we have a situation where a relationship is building, one of the things that we need to start avoiding in these future relationships is the tendency to try and control people, to try and improve their lives, to try and save them. Nobody's going to get saved, mainly because perhaps they're going to save you, or that perhaps they have the rope tied around them and you don't. Everybody thinks that their way is the best way and the right way. And it's natural because we want to feel good about ourselves. But a lot of the time, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So what the Buddha says is save your own butt. Study a lot. Learn about the seven rays. Because when you know about the seven rays, you know about discernment. You know about the process. You know the process of ascension. Okay, so we're going to go further, right? So compassion. The idea that if somebody tells you something about themselves, that you think, well, at some point in my life, I was exactly like that, so I cannot judge them. And I think the main word for that, that's what we call compassion, isn't it? That we can't say somebody's good or bad because, well, who are we to tell? Who are we to say? So So essentially, we're talking about throwing compassion at relationship. Now, I know that sounds like, yeah, right, well, of course, you know, that's stupid. You know, it's like, you know, it's very obvious. But if you step back and look at it, and look at the way we regard relationship, sometimes we regard relationship as a stepping stone to something better in our lives, to you know, drag ourselves out of some gutter or out of some trailer park, or, you know, it happens. But it's not necessarily the right relationship, and it also doesn't mean that a relationship is a failure because it's ended. I'm sure a lot of people in the listenership here would agree that they had some relationships that shouldn't have gone on forever, but were very good at the time for their growth or for the other person's growth. Like I say, you don't know somebody's karma, and you don't know why somebody's in your life until usually afterwards, unless you're very astute, in which case then the karma is dealt with very, very quickly. In fact, it's a bit like knowing that you're in a game so that you can play it rather than being confused as to what might be going on. So once we've started with the sacral center, so the sacral center is about our relationships and how we relate to other people, how we use or abuse people, how we allow people to be who they are, or do we judge them? Do we try and mold them into our image of what we think they should be? Or do we allow them to grow? I mean, it's a bit like, you know, people who might put a little square jar around a tomato as it grows, so the tomato ends up square. Of course, they have to smash the jar to get the thing out. People have a tendency to try and make the rest of the world just like them. I would like to suggest that that's not exactly the way the nature intends it, because nature likes to diversify and create all sorts of different things all the time. That seems to be the way to me anyway. So we have a tendency to try and make conform, to try and mold other people, and that's essentially a manipulation and doesn't do anybody any good. It doesn't do you any good because you've interfered with somebody's karma. It doesn't do your partner good because they've just been manipulated the last God knows how long. And doesn't do your karma any good because, you know, you're now going to have to deal with the karma of having interfered with somebody else's life. So one of the noble ways is to be harmless, to not make any more karma. And that's really quite tricky because, you know, we make so many, we drop stuff all over the place, you know. You might leave a cup lying around and your housemate has to pick it up and take it to the sink and wash it up. That's a little bit of karma. Now, that might not seem very much, but, you know, if that happens every day for 5 years, these things build up, and eventually it's got to be addressed. So once we have calmed our production of karma, it's a bit like, you know, people worry about their carbon footprint. We need to worry about our karmic footprint, really. Oh, God, that sounds really cheesy. Anyway, good idea. Karmic footprint. You know, how much karma are you leaving on the world as you walk the streets? Do you drop litter? Do you smoke? Do you throw cigarette ends everywhere? I've noticed that people who smoke tend to flick their cigarettes just kind of willy-nilly, puffing smoke out willy-nilly, not knowing, you know, somebody else might find it very unpleasant. So all of those are ways of building up karma on different levels. There's all sorts of different karma. Like I said, you know, each of your chakras will have a particular form of karma. So in terms of ascension, okay, so we're moving from the sacral center. So the first thing that everybody starts doing is to reform their relationships, and that normally means having to leave home. And having to communicate with the rest of the world, which is often quite traumatic. So that's essentially what we call the first initiation, because you're having to deal with people who are not your family, who don't owe you anything, who don't have any loyalty to you. You have to be it on your own, develop new relationships. And that's essentially what you're going to do, is your throat and your sacral center work together to create new relationships, which are more of the right variety. When I say more, nothing happens straight away. You don't get direct results, and it's all a learning process. And all of these things happen to you so that you can help others, because they're going to be going through the same process as well. We need to recognize that there is a process, and that everybody is along that line of process somewhere. There's certain points when certain chakras are connected, and certain points that happen before that and after that. So basically, we're going to be going from the sacral to the throat. That creates the first thing, and the effect of that is forming relationships on your own, i.e. leaving home, leaving your town, moving country, going somewhere else, being an autonomous being. That's the first initiation, and that, if you consider that, those are the centers that govern your arms and your legs, which, of course, that's how you relate and communicate with the world, with your arms and your legs, and move through the world. Anyway, next comes your solar plexus, which is your ideologies. And for a vast number of people in the movement, as it were, are in the place of moving their ideologies from dogma, which is based in the solar plexus, into reality, which is based in the heart center. It takes compassion to see reality. Here's another thing. If you freak out because somebody insults your ideology, you're not free of it. You're not free, you're working from the solar plexus, you're working from a lower place, and you still got plenty of work to do. If you get worked up about people insulting your deity or your rock star or your obsessive lover, you're working from a place of emotional response. And you're sitting fairly and squarely on the astral plane, and if you think you're enlightened at that point, then you're in the most illusory reality you can imagine. Thank you, Nick. So, now, thankfully, this process, this part of the process, doesn't take too long. For some, it might be 2 or 3 lifetimes. I'm kidding. Well, no, I'm not actually. But in the past, it would be like that. But nowadays, it would maybe, you know, it could even be a week. things are changing that much, and people are evolving so much so quickly. So it's very often good to recognize that these chakras create energies that move in the body. So you may find somebody who's moving through the solar plexus issues will have stomach issues, like liver problems, kidney problems, stomach problems, middle torso backaches, things like that. And also pain around the heart area, because these are the two chakras that are meeting together. And once they have met together, then what we have is a situation where your inner body chakras, that means from the throat, the heart, the solar plexus, and the sacral center, they're all clear. That enables the crown center to open up. Now, oh my God, I've got 90 seconds to go. If anybody wants to come in on this, give me a squeak. Otherwise, you have to listen to the archive. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. If you want to hear more, well, call in, and I'll keep going. I'm going to keep going anyway. So thank you for listening to my show tonight. And one day I'm going to get some more airtime. I'm just building up a new website with a blog in it and some fancy stuff, and maybe I'll have some tunes and all sorts of business. So it's been very delightful speaking with you all tonight, and I hope you all have a delightful week. Stay on top of the changes, because it's going to be quite a ride from here on in until about October. And good luck, and God bless you all. And I'll see you in the next few days. So, as a teaser, when your heart center starts cutting in, that's when you get to the point of seeing through the glamour, seeing through the dogma, and releasing yourself from the dogma. But that is followed from the dark night of the soul. And that's probably a good place to end. The dark night of the soul is the time when your personality energy, which has developed over all the lifetimes that you've been initiate, and all of the what we call the ego building exercises, trauma and things that cause you to be defensive, all of those things are caught up with dogma. And dogma is essentially a belief system, or a dogma system, is a is something that is imposed from someone else. You know, it's either taught in school, or taught in the medical college, or spoken to you by your doctor, or spoken by a lawyer or a judge, or spoken by a priest or a clergyman. It's all about what somebody else tells you, which of course cannot be true reality, because true reality can only be experienced on first hand. Only you can experience reality, because you feel it with your heart. Now, many years ago, or even a few years ago, speaking like this, one would have thought very, very flowery and not scientific. But now we decide. Now we discovered that there are brain cells, there are neurons in the heart, quite a lot. We're now discovering that the heart has a mind, or it has a connection with mind. Perhaps it also has a connection to a greater wisdom. According to the Seven Way Teachings, the heart center is a center of love and wisdom. The solar plexus center is a center of devotion and loyalty. So, if you compare those two energies, love, wisdom, understanding, nurturing, compassion, forgiveness, opposing, or rather taking a higher stand than dogma, belief, loyalty, paradigms, all the paradigms, all the belief systems, they all belong to the solar plexus. In the heart, you see the truth. You see things as they are. You don't see them as good or bad, or these are evil and these are bad, you know. You see them for what they are. There's no judgment. Essentially, what I'm saying is stop judging, because that makes bad karma. Be cool, because otherwise you make bad karma. Be harmless, otherwise you make big karma. So, essentially, three Buddhist teachings. And on that, I'd like to wish you all a very wonderful week. And I'll just play my little indie tune. And wish you all a very, very wonderful time. Thank you. Oh, no, that one.